From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Trump administration on Monday released its 2020 budget to the tune of a record $4.75 trillion. The budget will be the largest in history and includes a massive increase in border spending for Trump's wall, a boost to military spending, and harsh slashes to programs actually benefiting Americans. In fact, Trump is asking for an across-the-board 5% cut to all non-defense discretionary programs. On the border spending part specifically, the proposal includes an $8.6 billion package to build a border wall. According to Reuters, which first reported the story, the request is more than six times what Congress allocated for border projects in each of the past two fiscal years, and 6% more than Trump has corralled by invoking emergency powers this year. My guest is Lindsay Korshgerian, Research Director at National Priorities Project. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
So I imagine that this is the sort of wish list approach to the budget. Some have speculated that this is Trump's message budget. This is his way of telling his base what his priorities are. But of course, the Senate is controlled by Republicans. So it's not just pie in the sky, is it?
No, it's definitely a budget that has many goals that are shared by congressional Republicans. Certainly the cuts to domestic spending and social programs and the increases for the Pentagon budget are the same things that we've seen from Republican budgets in recent years, regardless of whether they were the House budget or the Senate budget or the administration budget. So these are very much traditional Republican values, and we can expect that many of the people in the Senate and the House on that side of the aisle will agree with these priorities. But of course, now Democrats do have control of the House, and there is still, for the time being, a filibuster in the Senate, which means that Democrats do have quite a bit of control over what ends up happening.
Right. Explain that to us. But even though the Democrats are in a minority in the Senate, it is a slim minority. It became less slim last November. But because of Republican practices, the Democrats can actually hold the fort specifically on budget issues.
Yes. So there are some exceptions to this where the filibuster is no longer an option in the Senate. And the Senate has used that most recently with respect to the Trump tax cuts in order to push something through the Senate with just a plain majority instead of a 60-vote majority. But in most budget matters, the filibuster, which is when you need 60 votes for something to pass the Senate instead of a simple majority of 50 votes, is still an option for Democrats, and it's still very much something that they can wield in order to have some negotiating power.
So let's talk about what the border part of this bill and immigration part of this bill. It's almost as though Trump is sort of taking this hardline approach of, if you won't give me what I want, I have nothing to lose in asking for even more. So there was a huge fight over the funding for his border wall that resulted in the longest partial federal government shutdown in history. He had to backtrack. He invoked emergency powers, and it's possible that he may still be rebuked, right? But this week by the Senate, the House has already rebuked his use of the national emergency powers to appropriate billions of dollars for the border wall. Now he's asking for even more, $8.6 billion. Has Trump given any justification for why this number is now bigger?
Well, he's clearly looking for something closer to his entire wall. If you remember, his campaign promise was essentially a concrete wall from sea to shining sea. Now, just recently, his former chief of staff, John Kelly, has said that that would be a waste of money. So even people who were formerly on the Trump team are saying that that is a bad idea. But he still seems to be going after that. And just for a brief history, like you said, we all remember the government shutdown. It made a big impression on many of us. And at that point, Trump was only asking for $5.7 billion. Only for his wall. Then when he failed to get that through forcing a government shutdown, he has tried to seize over $8 billion in funding for the wall through his executive order and national emergency declarations. And now he wants another $8 billion. So this is on top of the $8 billion plus that he's trying to get through his national emergency so that he can build more of a wall.
Okay, and, so this $8.6 billion assumes that the money that he's asked for through the national emergency will come through. This is in addition to that?
This is in addition to that. And in fact, the budget asks for a new $8.6 billion for wall building, partially from the military budget and partially from the Homeland Security budget. Hmm. But then it asks in addition for more than $3 billion to pay back the military funds that he's trying to seize through his emergency declaration. So it's actually asking for more than $11 billion total for his wall funding. It's just that $3 billion of that he's counting as paying back the money that he's taking through his emergency order.
So let's talk about the cuts being proposed, and across the board, 5% cut on non-defense discretionary programs, but also huge cuts to Medicaid and new requirements on other welfare programs. Can you give us a sense of what programs that actually benefit Americans are being proposed to be slashed by the president?
Yes. So this is a proposal that we've seen again from Republicans in various forms. And the proposal for Medicaid is being described as something that gives more power to the states. But what that really means is that they would give states a certain amount of funding. It would allow states to impose more things like work requirements to only give Medicaid to people who are able to be employed. And we know that many, many people who are on Medicaid are not employed for reasons related to Medicaid, like being on disability or being having disabilities or being unable to work for various reasons. So there's really something twisted about requiring people to work in order to get Medicaid. And it's also a way of, over time, making sure that we chip away at federal funding for Medicaid. So by giving states a set amount of money, they're able to get out of the loophole where Medicaid automatically gets more money because more people qualify, which is how Medicaid works now. So it's a sneaky way of long-term cutting Medicaid funds without actually saying that they're cutting Medicaid funds.
Wow. And the military is getting a boost. At the same time that Trump has talked a good talk about withdrawing troops from various countries, which of course is a good thing, talked about drawing down wars, talked about why there are these troops fighting these wars in various countries and that we shouldn't be doing that. What is the justification for an increased military budget?
Well, the big justification that we keep hearing from military leaders and that is cited in this budget is about readiness. And what that means is that they're saying that, yes, we have a big military, but they're not ready. They're not up to speed. They're not where they should be. Now, at the same time, we have military leaders assuring us that we have the biggest and strongest and best military in the world, which we assuredly do since we spend more than the next seven countries combined, or at least we had better. And so what they're saying is, in part, they're actually admitting that the reason our military is in trouble is because we have spent the last nearly 20 years at war. So they're saying that our forces are depleted because we've been sending them to Iraq and Afghanistan, and now we find out so many other places around the world where we have military interventions happening. We've just heard about Somalia. And they're saying that because we're doing so much, we need more. That's basically the argument.
I'm glad you brought up Somalia. Yes. Drone strikes, airstrikes in that country in particular have ramped up dramatically. We just saw a report from the Defense Department that showed that we're killing hundreds of people in Somalia, and this year we'll be on pace to drop many, many more airstrikes. And that's not being covered that much in the news. It's not being discussed hardly at all in Congress. So certainly, even though we're ramping down or maybe ramping down some wars, some places we're ramping up other wars elsewhere. So in terms of the other cuts, that sort of 5% cut across the board, there's also specific cuts to specific parts of the budget, such as the Department of Energy, right? There's, I understand, one report that showed that the office that deals with energy efficiency and renewable energy in particular, Trump wants to slash their budget by 70%, essentially rendering it useless and unable to function. This is basically a shutdown budget, some have said, right?
Yes, yes. And that's not the first time we've seen this kind of thing. And Trump seems to particularly have it out for the environment. So, yes, he's cutting the budget for renewables, which is a very small budget to begin with. It's minuscule in terms of the federal budget. It's only a few billion dollars to start, which is, you know, less than 1% of the Pentagon budget. And then he also is proposing again, as he has in previous years, a 30% cut to the Environmental Protection Agency. So this is an administration that really has it out for the environment and really has it out for anything that we might do about climate change or clean water or any concern that sort of pits the environment against what they think of as, I guess, deregulation or freedom for corporate America.
There are some other aspects to this budget that include efforts to reduce opioid addiction. There's also a 10% increase in healthcare spending for veterans and a new school choice program. Are these sort of designed to reward his very specific parts of his base and the Republican Party's reliable voters?
Yeah, I think these are very clearly sort of politically motivated. I don't know whether handouts or signals, since many of them probably won't come to pass. But yes, they're definitely geared towards specific constituencies. Trump has consistently sort of championed opioid spending and spending on veterans as two of the few areas of actual, you know, public interest or public health where he wants to spend more money instead of less. And I think that's very much about, you know, who those demographics are that support those things. And then on the school vouchers, you know, we have Secretary Betsy DeVos, who is a big champion of school choice, and school choice is a big Republican cheer for many, many years. And defunding public education through school choice is something that people on the right have been after for a long time. So it's also part of a bigger trend toward privatization that we see on the right in terms of education and healthcare and many other things.
Right. Now, we aren't hearing much about how much the Republican tax reform bill cost the government. But is there anything we can infer from this budget about the fact that wealthy Americans are benefiting dramatically from that tax reform law that went into effect, that was passed in late 2017, and that really has depleted the Treasury?
Yes. I think the big link between the tax cuts and this budget is just how clear it is that this administration and many of the politicians on the right claim to care about things like deficits and balanced budgets, but they don't care in the least. They were perfectly willing to pass the tax cuts, which are continuing to cost into the trillions of dollars and can cost more if they're extended further. And they've passed this budget, which blows up spending for the Pentagon to levels that have rarely been seen in U.S. history, only at the height of the Iraq War and at the height of World War II have we seen military spending levels this high. So between the tax cuts and the Pentagon spending and some really goofy projections about economic growth that are in this budget, the administration claims that we're going to have a level of economic growth of about 3%, which no mainstream economists believe that we are actually going to have for a sustained period like they assume in this budget. Between all of these things, it's clear that when they talk about deficits or balanced budgets, they don't actually care about those things. It's really just a tool so that they can cut the social programs that they want to cut.
So I'm glad you brought up this issue of growth. The Office of Management and Budgets Director Russ Vought, Acting Director Russ Vought, had an op-ed in Fox News where has tried to make this argument that we are seeing this unprecedented economic growth, but it's under threat. And the only way to preserve that growth is to slash spending because we're addicted to spending money. He does take on this issue of the debt, the $22 trillion debt, which nearly doubled under Obama. and is unsustainable. So Vought is claiming that Trump's budget is somehow going to tackle this and going to preserve this miracle, economic miracle that Trump keeps touting.
Yes, but as you said, they only talk about deficits and debt when there are things that they want to cut. So in this budget, there are many mentions of cutting wasteful spending, but it's always about things like education or the environment. There is no talk of cutting waste when it comes to the Pentagon budget, even though it is by far the biggest department in the federal government, even though this budget calls for a renewed commitment to the F-35 jet fighter, which is an atrocious waste of money that is billions of dollars over budget and years overdue and has never been used in U.S. combat. And
were those their words? Renewed commitment?
Well, they're calling for it. It is the primary point in their air strategy is the F-35. So they're absolutely doubling down on this jet fighter, even though Trump himself in the past had made comments about what a waste of money it was. If you remember, briefly after he was elected, he made a couple of those comments and then has sort of turned himself around. But there is no bigger waste of money in our federal budget than the Pentagon. And the fact that they are talking about wasteful spending in all of these other areas when they're pumping more money into the Pentagon, which failed an audit last year and is the only major federal agency to never pass an audit, is it really just laughable if it weren't so sad.
I mean, there's talk of commitment to a piece of hardware. Where's the commitment to real people? So is this going to, where is this going to go? Let's put it this way. This is basically the president's vision for where he would like to see the 2020 budget go. The deadline for passing a budget for 2020 is October 1st. And we had a horrible shutdown resulting from the battle over this year's budget last year. What do you expect is going to happen over the next several months? Are we going to see a replay? I mean, Trump has shown that he will dig his heels in at the expense of the nation's, you know, health, safety, security, stability, and all of that.
Right. Well, the conventional wisdom, usually with the president's budget, but especially with this one, the conventional wisdom is that it's dead on arrival, that it is just putting out the president's vision and that Congress is not bound in any way to follow what the president's budget says, which is true. But even in this Congress, where there are some indications that leadership on both sides of the aisle are interested in making a budget deal and that would involve some compromise on both sides, there's every indication that that is not where the administration is. So there's a very good chance, I would say, certainly we can't predict it with any certainty, but there's a very good chance the president has veto power, and there's a very good chance that even if Congress manages to come up with some budget deal, that it won't include funding for a wall, for instance, once again, and we could find ourselves right back where we were in December through February of this year with a government shutdown.
So the question is, what sort of leverage is there, if any, that the Democrats have with the Republicans and with Trump? In a normal government where you had the split in power, there's deal making that goes on. All right, we'll approve this if you approve that. I mean, is there even the prospect of that sort of negotiation in the situation we find ourselves in today?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, indications are that congressional leaders would still like that to be the solution on both sides of the aisle, but the administration is not there, is not interested. And so whether having lost the last government shutdown so miserably and failed to get any congressional approval or to get very much congressional approval for actual wall funds, which led to the emergency declaration and all of the current ongoing drama around that, whether that was enough of a lesson for the administration or whether they're willing to go back to the very same fight all over again really remains to be seen. With any normal administration, we might expect that they would try to take a different tack, but this is not a normal administration.
It seems as though the Trump administration is casting its entire budget proposal as centered around this demand for the border wall, which it knows, I think, that it plays well with its base. It's there's been so much misinformation by not just the government, but by Fox News about the border, about who's committing violence against who, that are, you know, apparently the immigrants are the ones threatening us, whereas all facts point to the fact that we're the ones who are committing violence against immigrants. And Russ Vought, the OMB acting director on CNBC on Monday, said that we're tired of being right about national security at the border. So they're wrapping it all up in this demand for the border wall. But really, doesn't that obscure all of the other cuts that are that's in this budget proposal? That this border wall, at the very least, would be at the expense of these ridiculously cruel cuts to real programs?
Yes. I think clearly they would like our focus to be on the border wall and what they claim is a national security threat at the border, rather than on what they're threatening to do to the rest of the government. And just for instance, the amount of money that they want for the border wall, about $8 billion in this budget, happens to be around the size of the entire budget for the Environmental Protection Agency. So they really are talking about taking an amount of money that in other parts of government is quite significant and can do quite a lot of good, and using it for something that is completely unnecessary, damaging, immoral, and something that most Americans don't want. Which is something, you know, perhaps that can give us hope that, you know, while there are certainly Trump supporters who are in his base and who did very much want this wall, the majority of Americans do not want a wall. The majority of Americans think immigration is a good thing, and that we should have at least as much of it as we have now, if not more.
The Trump budget also proposes cuts to science funding, which again is in line with its vision, a big cut to the National Science Foundation, a more modest cut to NASA, and we mentioned the Energy Department cut. And I'm wondering how best you think, say, media should be covering this budget. It's a lengthy document because these things are usually detailed. I'm looking at the Washington Post article, which has a pretty good headline that says Trump proposes big cuts to health programs for poor, elderly, and disabled. That summarizes it pretty well, but it seems to be in the minority of headlines, certainly from the right. The headlines are all about how there's border security violence and Trump is trying to fix that. And other headlines might get a little bit wonkish. But we should be making it pretty clear what he wants, right?
Yes. I think it's important to not lose focus on the domestic programs and programs for the poor and programs for the environment. Most people don't want to see those things drastically cut. Most people want us to have clean air and clean water and good education systems. And I think that there is a tendency to get wrapped up in this border wall drama, and it's very important, but it's certainly not the only thing there. And I think it's important to remember that while the border wall is one of Trump's priorities, there are all of these other priorities that so many Americans agree on and don't want to see these cuts happen. And I think it's really important to remember, also because it's important for all of us to remember that government actually can do good things, not just things like border walls.
It's supposed to be doing good things. That's the whole point of a democratically representative government. Lindsay, where's a good place for people to learn about the work that you do?
You can read our analysis of the federal budget at nationalpriorities.org.
We'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thanks, Sonali.
Lindsay Koshgarian is Research Director at National Priorities Project. We've been discussing Trump's 2020 budget. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.